you read Old Preaching, the great majority of that preaching was what? It was on salvation. What it is, how it is applied. How can you know that you're saved? And it's not because one time in your life you prayed a prayer and asked Jesus to come into your heart. It's not because with some evangelist you wrote your name in the back of your Bible and put a date there. You know you're saved because the Spirit bears witness that you are born again. Because your life has changed and is changing and continues in a process of change. And when it stalls in that process of change, that merciful, loving God comes and disciplines you. That's the difference. You see why there's no power in that thing they call the gospel? Because it's not the gospel that they're preaching. It's not. And I'll take any man to task who says it is. It's not. I worked in a country for many, many years of my life where everybody believed they were saved because as infants they were baptized. They can commit every abomination and hellish form of device and thought, and yet they believe they're saved because when they were infants they were baptized. And Baptists scoff at that. And I tell you, Baptists do the very same thing today. The only difference is it's not infant baptism, it's repeating a prayer. Treating salvation like a flu shot. I repented. Don't worry about me, preacher. I repented. Don't worry about me, preacher. I done did that. My dear friend, salvation is not a flu shot. The evidence that you truly repented long ago when you said you did is because you're still repenting now and even to a greater degree. The evidence that you believed a long time ago is that you're still believing now and ever more believing in greater and greater degrees. Do you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart? No. These are the things that I'll usually deal with a person on. I say, well, the first question is, have you repented? Now, I could go into a theological, treatise on what repentance is, but usually it will confuse. I'd rather use illustrations that helps people to understand what I'm talking about. I look at them and I say, sir, or a congregation, I'll say, now, congregation, you may have come here today for every reason in the world other than the right reason. And the whole time I've been preaching, you've been looking at your clock wondering, when is this diatribe going to be over? When are you going to get out of here? And right now you're only concerned about where you're going to eat or where you're going to go after church. I want to tell you, sir, you cannot be saved if that's your attitude because you have no repentance. But if you came here this morning with all the wrong reasons, and you sat here wondering when this was going to be over, but partway through this sermon, you knew that someone was dealing with your heart, and you began to see the holiness of God like never before. You began to see your sin as never before, and your attitude towards that sin about which you once boasted has totally changed, and you hate it, and you're ashamed. Sir, that is repentance. You can be saved. You lack one other thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Give you another illustration. It has been very helpful to many people. It doesn't always happen this way. Sometimes I have preached and people have come and talked to me for no fewer than a few minutes. I've even had people come down the aisle crying out, "What must I do to be saved?" Cry out to the Lord and be saved. But that's not the way it happens always. Remember preaching up north one time and a girl came forward and she says, "I need to be broken. I need to be saved." And I knew something of her case. I knew her father well. And I said, but how many times have you been saved? How many times have you prayed that prayer? She said, 6. And I said, it didn't do any good, did it? She said, no. My life is vile and sinful and I'm empty and lost. And I said, well, there's no sense then in us repeating that same mistake, is there? She said, no. She said, what do I do? I said, go home. Just go home. And cry out to God as though hell were opening up its mouth to swallow you down. Cry out to God that He might save you. She came the next night and she looked just tore up, just totally broken. And she said, I cried out to God all night and He did not answer me and I fell asleep and I woke up this morning and I'm just in such distress. I don't know what to do. She says, what do I do? I said, you have two options. Most of you will think this is cruel. I said, you have two options. Stop crying out to God and go to hell. Or continue crying out to God till He saves you. She went home. The next night I was there with her father and we were talking about these things and he was excited. Most fathers would have been mad. But he was excited about what God was doing in his daughter's life and the way that it was handled and everything. And we were up there weeping and the old man was crying out for his daughter. And then the music started and he went and sat back down. And I took my seat up there in the front and I was sitting there. I was still crying out for this lady. And all of a sudden someone plopped down beside me. Opened my eyes and looked and it was her. Just glowing. I said, what's happened? She goes, if every person in the world got together and told me right now I was lost, I would still have the greatest of confidence that my God has heard my voice and He has saved me. I said, what happened? She said, I cried out all night and I fell asleep in just total distress and I didn't know what to do. And I woke up the next morning and as soon as my eyes just flown open, she said, God pressed upon my heart, I have saved thee, daughter. And she said, the love of God was shed abroad in my heart. Some of you old people will remember preaching like that from a long time ago. But we've turned it into a little business, haven't we? If you're here today, you could be saved. You may be saved in the next 5 minutes. You may be saved in the next 5 weeks. But as preachers of the gospel, we must deal with you honestly and not like charlatans. Salvation is a supernatural work of God. I would submit to you that the work of salvation, the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation, the work of regeneration, in that is manifested as much power as when Christ was resurrected from the dead, and greater power than when the Spirit created the world itself. Because in this work, the Spirit is creating, recreating, taking a wicked, vile, God-hating heart and recreating it in true righteousness and true holiness in the image of Jesus Christ, in the image of God. That is the gospel. That Christ died for sins. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. That Christ died for sin. And why is that necessary? Payment has to be made. The justice of God must be satisfied. Your sin must be put away so that you can come to God and He can forgive you. And that was done through the blood of Jesus Christ on that tree. And it is applied not through some little contract, but it is applied through the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time that it is applied through the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit, at this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe that today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to Him. Repentance is simply giving up. To stop fighting against God and to stop attempting to gain your own salvation through your own works. To literally give up and fall upon Christ. That is salvation. So that you say, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling.